So this morning, I just want to preach, and I guess my message is, I've called it waking up. Waking up. And a few weeks ago, for those that were in the prayer meeting, we heard from Marlene and Walson, and they were just there in Israel at the moment, and they were just sharing a little bit about what's going on there and what they're seeing and what they're doing. And I'm not going to talk a lot about that this morning, but there's something that she sort of spoke out in the prayer meeting a bit prophetically, and I just sort of grabbed a hold of it, and I just wanted to, you know, talk a bit about that this morning. But just to start off, they were just talking about, and we've heard this a few times already, you know, in the last few months, but about how Israel is like a time clock. And, you know, and we can't be oblivious, you know, or blasé about the time that we're in, about what's going on, or the time that we are in history. And I won't read it now, but if you want to go away and read this, Matthew 24, if you read that chapter, it gives you some really good insight to where we are and what's happening, you know, and how to read the season. But it's like a time clock, and we can't be, you know, just oblivious and blasé to what's going on with. There's got to be a waking up. There's got to be a bit of spiritual awakening on the inside of us. And Marlene just started to really pinpoint particularly the men. And she was just talking about that. And I just want to read what she said, and then I'll move on into my message. And today this is for everyone. But I would love it if the men particularly paid notice. But it is for everyone. So Marlene said, you know, in her words, in church life, sometimes the mentality can be that the pastor's and the leader's job is to look after the church, you know, boundaries and the borders and even the people. And to a degree, that's accurate, that's correct. You know, there's a covering. I believe that, you know, when we connect right, we're in relationship right, there is a covering that, you know, that our spiritual oversight can really bring and give. But sometimes, you know, we think that it's all on them. And it's all on them to cover and protect and look after and declare things over the city and that sort of thing. And Marlene was saying, but the time has come where every man, and I'll talk to everyone today, everyone has to take responsibility and win in their area of influence. So whether that's your family, whether that's you as an individual, whether that's you in your workplace, whether that's you, you know, in whatever area that you are in your community, this is the time where we need to take responsibility and win in those areas. And the responsibility God has given us, you know, in this season, when we master that, we'll be entrusted with more. This is what she said. You know, when we master that, when we begin to win in those areas, God will begin to give us more. Marlene said, we need a daily discipline of taking authority, a daily discipline to take authority, to cover. And this is not just on Pastor Brian or Lynn or your other leaders in this church. This is on us, on every one of us as an individual, as a member of this place and this house, that where we need to begin to stand up and take that authority and have a daily discipline of taking that authority to cover, to protect and to lead. Amen. Protect what belongs to you. Protect those under you and protect those that you're responsible for. Bring Zion to your sphere of influence. This is what Marlene said. So I just want to grab a hold of that a bit this morning and you know, see how I go, just opening that up a little bit. But this is not a season to be distant. So remember, I'm talking to everyone this morning, but I want myself as a man and all the other men to take particular note. This is not a season to be distant or distracted. You know, it's not a season to be over busy or over lazy. You know, men in particular, and I'm talking to myself this morning, you know, sometimes we need to wake up, which is why I call my message waking up. Sometimes we need to stand up, you know, more than we do. You know, I was thinking of David, young David, you know, came into the battle and he came and he saw what was going on there with Goliath and how Goliath was intimidating, you know, the army of Israel. And young David comes in there and he's like, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And there was more stand up, there was more leadership in that young boy than there was in the king or even the entire army of Israel at that time. You know, a young boy, you know, saw what was going on and he's like, hold on a second, this is not right. Is there not a cause? So Matthew 13, 25, if we open up to that. Or Matthew 13, 24, we'll start there. Another parable he put forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So a couple of things there. Firstly, it says his enemy. So we have an enemy. We have an adversary, the devil, who roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, there is an enemy. There is someone out there. I said it this morning, I think in prayer, the accuser of the brethren. We have an enemy. And it says there how he sowed tares or weeds which resemble wheat. So it's like there's this deception that's around. There's half-truths. There's false reports. You know, if anyone watches the news, looks at mainstream media, all that sort of thing, you know, there's all sorts of stuff out there at the moment. And it's sometimes we just don't know where to look or what to listen to because there just seems like there's so much deception, so much, you know, half-truth or false reports of what's going on. You know, I'm sure you can think of some of those in your own mind. You know, and this is like the spirit of the age. It's like the character of the age. And it's like, you know, tares and weeds that are being sown. And it can be like they look like wheat. It resembles wheat, but it's not. You know, James says, do not be deceived. You know, we need to be vigilant. We need to be awake and on guard. We need to build the concepts of prayer that we've been learning about, you know, through some of Pastor Brian's messages over the last month. You know, we need to build these concepts of prayer into our lives so that we can be vigilant and we can be awake and we can be on guard, you know, in this time. You know, the tares in that scripture sowed, they resembled the wheat. And this can be a really effective tactic of the enemy to sow unbelief, to sow a half-truth. You know, in the beginning, did God say? You know, it's like a half-truth. It's not the full truth. And, you know, so the tares sowed resemble the wheat. You know, it can be a really effective tactic of the enemy for those without spiritual insight. You know, and this is where we need to wake up. We need to become spiritually aware and spiritually alive of not only what is happening in the world, but what God is doing and what God is saying. And to be completely in line with and trust what the Word of God says for this time and this season. Is that all right? So as a father, like as a natural father, you know, I have been given insight into those that I'm responsible for. So for those with kids, you know where your kids are at. I know when Levi or Archie say something to me, whether it's the full truth, half truth, or just a darn right lie. You know, you sense it, you pick it up. But it's what we do with that afterwards that, you know, is what I'm talking about this morning. You know, we can know where things are at. We can see what's going on, but what are we doing about it? You know, so I know exactly where my kids are at, but sometimes I can, you know, negate my responsibility and be distant. And that's where the enemy can walk in. If I allow my, for instance, you know, my son to lie and I just leave that, it's like that thing can begin to foster in his life. But if I begin to put my finger on it and I begin to, you know, help walk him through that and that sort of thing, then, you know, it's like you can stop, you know, the lies of the enemy in that time and in that life. So I've got a few points this morning and points to walk as God intended. That's for everyone. And if you're a man, the points are to walk and act like a man. And you'll know what I mean in a minute. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 13 and 14. So this is Paul's encouragement. And he says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. And this is what I just want to open up and talk about this morning. So remember, this is for everyone, but men particularly, pay attention. Number one, we need to be watchful. So as men, we need to know what's going on around us. You know, Isaiah 62 says, I've posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. Day and night, they keep at it, praying, calling out, reminding God to remember. They are to give him no peace until he does what he said, until he makes Jerusalem famous as the city of praise. You know, as men, we need to be watchful. We need to be like watchmen on the wall. And, you know, day and night, praying, calling, reminding God what he said. You know, being persistent, being consistent. We need to be watchful. We need to be able to see, you know, what's happening in our families. We need to be able to see what's going on around us. And we need to have that wisdom and that insight to begin to step in and to speak and to help, you know, those under our care in that situation. It's not enough just to be watchful. It's not enough just to see what's going on. There's got to be something on the inside of us that rises to step in. You know, and if I'm completely honest, you know, I can see this in my own life sometimes where I'm a little bit lazy and I'm a little bit preoccupied and I'm a little bit distracted. And out of the corner of my ear or the corner of my eye, I can realise what's going on and Heidi's dealing with the situation. Now, that's not to say mums can't do what mums do. We work together as a unit, but there's a responsibility on us men to be watchful and to step in and act in whatever area that is. So I hope this is okay and this is making sense. The problem is most men can be asleep. Not all men, not you. You're here this morning, you're okay. I'm talking about other men. All the men not here today. They can be asleep. We can be a bit oblivious. We can be distracted. We need to wake up spiritually and be attentive. We need to know the condition, not only of our own heart and our own life, but the lives of those around us, our family, our wife, our kids, the world around us. You know, what is going on in their lives? What is happening in their lives? We need to see spiritually. You know, it's said there in that scripture, while men slept, in some versions says, while good men slept, the enemy came in. So this is men, this is good men, this is good people. But sometimes we can be distant and distracted, and while that happens, the enemy can come in and he can sow tares, and it's tares resembling wheat. It's half-truths. So there's a prophetic word over this place that this would be a place of safety. You know, I really believe being watchful is part of that. You know, overseeing this place spiritually, overseeing it in the natural, looking after our youth, protecting our women, looking after our children, being watchful. You know, that sort of thing. When people walk through these doors, we want them to feel safe. We want them to feel covered and secure and safe. You know, I know I've had a number of, I have had a lot of conversations with even some of the single women in this place where they've said they feel covered and protected and safe because there is good men, there's good covering that watch and look over. Number two, we need to stand firm. So we need to learn to be consistent. You know, we can't be like a spiritual roller coaster. You know, and what I mean by that is, you know, up and down in our emotion, sideways, up and down, on and off, hot and cold. You know, there needs to be a consistency in our faith. There needs to be a consistency in our walk with God, a consistency in our spiritual, you know, being on the inside. You know, not up and down, not high and low. You know, there's always going to be things that happen. There's going to be, you know, life is life. I'm not saying we've got to be on top of the world every day, but there's got to be that consistency where we know the God that is on the inside of us. And even though there's turmoil and different things going on beside us, there's a consistency about us. Is that all right? Does that make sense? So this will help you stand firm. That will too. This also, what I'm about to say, will help you stand firm. Conviction. So I'm told that there are 10 doctrines in the Bible. And that's the Bible, it's God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, sin, salvation, church, Christian life, angels and demons, and end times. They're different doctrines in the church. And, you know, my point of saying that is we need to know and have a conviction about what we believe. What do we believe about the Bible? What do we believe about sin? What do we believe about angels and demons? What do we believe about end times? That's a big one. You know, what do we believe about our God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit? You know, what's the conviction on the inside that we have about those things? What are the convictions that we've set on the inside that help us, you know, stand against temptation, against, you know, all these things that are going on in the world today? You know, there's so much we could talk all day about the different things that we hear in the news and that are going on, and, you know, people saying all sorts of things about all sorts of topics. But what's the conviction of your heart? You know, what is going to help you stand firm in your faith? We need to know what we believe. This is how we stand firm. We need to build our lives and convictions on the truth of the Word of God. Amen. Number three, we need to grow up. So I'm talking to men now. We need to act like men. You know, and this is like the session one in Man Up. What's session one in Man Up, men? Oh, wow. Okay. Smart Alec. After the introduction, not you, Corey. No, and no, none of the women. The women are yelling out before the men. What's, and for those that haven't, this is your first day, don't worry. I'm not asking you. Reality check. The first topic that we talk about is reality check, is a growing up. We've got to be a reality check about where we're at, where our heart's at. Paul says, act like men. And the first question I had when I was doing this is, what is a man? Because most people, not you, other people like politicians and that sort of thing, can't even answer this question. What is a man? What is a woman? You know, most of manhood, healthy manhood is being eroded to the point where we don't know, or we are silenced and afraid to know. So we've got to know what a man is. We've got to know what a woman is. We've got to know who it is God created and what He put on the inside of us. So we need to know these things. Paul says, act like a man. Other translations say, be courageous, be brave. You know, and I want to charge you, men particularly today, be brave. You know, and I'm talking to myself today, be a provider, be courageous. You know, be a protector, be bold, be a risk taker, be passionate, be full of the life of the Spirit. You know, be all these things. You know, let this be who you are. Let this be, who defines you. You know, if our homes are out of order, find these things in the Spirit and everything will begin to fall into place. Your leadership will flow from this. You know, I love this quote from Pastor Brian, the Word of God has never changed to accommodate your feelings. You know, the Word of God is the Word of God. And there's a growing up that's got to happen. And that's not to be negative or put myself or anyone else down, but we are at where we are at today. But I just really believe in this time and season, there's like a growing up that's got to take place. There's an awakening that's got to take place. You know, there's a spiritual awakening and reality that's got to take place where we're not just so going with the flow, she'll be right, mate. Because I don't believe she will be. And that's not to scare you, but that's just the way it is. And we need to be awake. We need to be vigilant. We need to know what's going on and not only in our world, but around us. So we need to wake up. We need to grow up. We need to begin to act like men or women. And we need to be passionate about what we do. We need to have conviction about what we do. We need to be, you know, all those things I just said, providers, risk takers, bold in what we do. You know, begin to step out in what you do. Begin to touch another life. Begin to love another life. Begin to, you know, say, no, that's not right. You know, be bold. And with everything that we do, we've got to let the life of the Spirit, you know, lead us and direct us in everything we do. Number four, we need to be strong. So not McLeod Taekwondo strong, not Shred Shed strong, although we need a bit of grunt in our lives, but we need to be strong. We need to be strong in Him. We need to be strong in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." You know, men of God, we need to walk in humility and we need to walk strong in the Spirit. People of God, we need to walk in humility and we need to walk strong in the Spirit. You know, we all have weaknesses. And, you know, I'm sure you've heard this before, but it's not a sin to be tempted. You know, Jesus was tempted just like us, but without sin. You know, sin is when we yield to the temptation and we fall short. You know, and the devil knows exactly what Delilah to send you. The devil knows exactly what tear to send into your life. The thing that resembles wheat, the thing that looks good, the thing that looks like love, the thing that looks like, you know, whatever it is. The devil knows how to send. The devil knows exactly what Delilah to send your way. And this was Samson's downfall. Real men, real people of God, those who live strong in spirit, exercise self-control by being under the Spirit's control. You know, and if you've read Romans 8 recently, like we have been in talking about it in, you know, recent weeks, this is what this is about. Rising above the flesh, you know, not thinking about the flesh, not living in the flesh, but rising above into the Spirit. I want to encourage every person here today to connect. You know, if you can, I'd love to encourage every man here to somehow get involved with the Man Up Challenge, or at least connect with other men. And every woman to connect with Empower Her, or at least connect with other women. Because we can't walk this journey alone. We need accountability partners. The word says iron sharpens iron. You know, we need to be strong. I can't stand alone and be strong. You know, we need covenant partners. We need relationship partners. We need those that walk with us and stand with us and hold our hands sometimes at different parts on our journey, and those that champion us and cheer us on at different parts in our journey. But we need those men and women that stand with us and stand strong. Amen. So let's do this. Let's just turn to Romans 8. I'm almost done. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So this morning, I just want to say we can live free of condemnation. So condemnation actually means a guilty verdict. This is the dictionary version, or a punishment. So one thing I know is condemnation stifles the forward movement of God in our life. But the word says here, you know, if we're in Him and we don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, there's now no condemnation. You know, condemnation, it holds you. Condemnation shuts us down. Condemnation doesn't allow you to move forward. It holds you to ransom like a guilty verdict over your life. But if we are in Christ Jesus, and some versions say joined in life union, you know, if we're in Him, if we're joined in life union with Jesus Christ, and we walk according to the Spirit, then there remains no accusing voice of condemnation from the enemy. Amen. Verse 5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." You know, I just really believe that if we can grab a hold of this and understand and not live according to the flesh, not set our minds on the things of the flesh, but set our minds on the things of the Spirit. This is why prayer is so vital. This is why worship is so vital. This is why coming together, you know, like this on a Sunday or in smaller groups through the week or whatever it is so vital, because it can, as long as we're talking about the right thing, it can shift us from, you know, living and living in that realm of the flesh. We live in a natural world, okay? Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not being, I hope, I'm not sounding like I'm being over spiritual here, all right? But the word says, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. So in other words, if we can begin to set our minds on things of the Spirit, then it begins to shift the way that we live, begins to shift the way that we think, begins to change the inner dynamic of what's going on. You know, and rather, you know, I can go through my whole day, because you get busy at work, you've got things going on at home and, you know, life. And it's like you can have all these encounters with different people and get to the end of the day and think, man, I didn't take one opportunity. This is just one example. Because I was so focused on the things of the flesh, the natural stuff. So focused on selling the next house or, you know, getting that next listing or, you know, washing the car or, you know, mowing the lawns or taking the kids to sport or, you know, whatever the things that we do. But there's got to be that shift where we begin to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. And this is where all these different things that we do, like prayer and church and stuff, or even your own personal time with your family and with God and that sort of thing, begins to make that shift on the inside of our heart. And it shifts so that when we're going about our life, it's not so natural and fleshly, but there's a spirit dynamic to it. Is that all right? Is that, are you sure? Good. So condemnation holds you. It shuts you down. But we want to rise above condemnation this morning, amen. If you are in Him, if Christ is in you, and you know, you might be going through a rough patch or something like that, but I just want to tell you this morning, no more condemnation. No more condemnation. Don't let condemnation hold you down. You know, I know this for my own life. I even today sometimes struggle with it because the enemy can take you back to where you've been. And it can be something that was years and years and years ago, but the enemy can take you back and sow seeds. And so all sorts of different half-truths and things like that. And, you know, you drop beat because you did this or, you know, you whatever. It holds you back and it can hold you back because you don't fully launch into the life of God because there's this condemnation that can be around us. I reckon that's got to go. It's got to go because we are free. And I read that scripture in worship in Revelation 1, I think it was, or Revelation 5. Let me open it up. It says who we are. Revelation 1, 5. Now to the one who constantly loves us. Who's that? Jesus. He constantly loves us and He's loosed us. He's washed us from sins by His own blood. Man, we're set free. You're set free this morning. You've been washed and set free. And to the one who has appointed us as a kingdom of priests, kings and priests, Christ is the one who made you. He made us into this holy order and union. So man, this is who we are. We are more than conquerors through Him. Amen. We've been washed clean by His blood. There's no longer any condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And I just really believe if we can get a revelation of this, if we can begin to rise above and step above and let our praise and our faith and our prayer be greater than our situation and condemnation begins to just filter away, look out for what God can do in you. Amen. Because the devil's a liar. He is a liar. He's the father of lies. He roams around like a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. It's deception. He's a defeated foe. But you've been washed in the blood of Christ, amen, by His own blood. And last point, number 5. Don't normally have a fifth point, do I? Paul's encouragement I read before says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, but let all that you do be done in love. Point number 5 is love. Everything that we do has got to be done in love. The motive of everything we do should be love. You know, Jesus is our example. And Jesus loved the church and gave his life for it. And men, particularly, but everyone, we can't do anything less. At least that's my opinion. We need to love and give our lives just like Christ. To our wives, to our kids, to our family, to our church, to our community. And I'm not talking about, you know, a soppy, manipulative type of love, but a love that comes from him. Strong, bold, fierce, courageous, faith-filled, risk-taking love. In 1 Corinthians 13, it also says, if I have not love, I am nothing. You know, without love, we just become like militant. And that's not what we want to be. That's not what we want to become. You know, love is the thing that really sorts all that militancy out. We've got to be strong. We're going to be courageous. We're going to stand up and be counted. But it's got to be from that place of love. You know, Christ gave his life for the church. You know, he's our example. We've got to live the same way. Everything that we do, we want it to come from love. And we want our actions to come from the spirit of life, not law. So I hope that's okay this morning. I'm done. Men, I hope you took note. But everyone, I think this is just for us. This is a time where we've got to, in our own way, learn to stand up, learn to be counted, live life passionately. We saw it last week. You know, we've got heroes even here this morning. We saw it last week with Lana, someone 22 years old, just got a call from God and went, I'm heading to Thailand to save kids. And man, look at what's going on. Faith, courageous, bold, you know, there's nothing stopping us. When we put aside condemnation and we become completely free and the walls are down and, you know, the Spirit is in control, there's no stopping us, amen? But make sure it's love. Everything we've talked about today starts right there. And it actually starts with a relationship with Him, with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe before we finish this morning, if you want to stand,